Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bliss is Ignorant podcast. This is Jay Bliss, and we have another comedian on this week. We tried to record this episode earlier, and we was having difficulty because the guest had a Fisher-Price internet, and it wasn't cooperating, so we had to reschedule. Yo, to the podcast, I got to bring my man Mike Mello on. Mike, what's good, man?
What's good, brother, man? Good to see you again. We're trying this again.
Fisher Price, my first internet. Nah, it was good though. Like, don't worry about it, because if you ever had to do a commercial for Google Fiber, you'd be like, don't do it.
Nope, man. I was in the woods too, man. You think it's supposed to work being in the woods?
Right. Right. Well, you know, it's like, I don't even want to try to revisit what we're talking about. If it happens, it happens. Because, you know, this podcast is very organic, you know, but I will, like, help people understand, you know, who you are as a comedian. I'm gonna put it like this. So my respect for you comes from the longevity, number one. And number two, us meeting and people feeling like we should meet. Yeah. So, you know, it's like your reputation precedes you, right? So somebody sees someone doing comedy, right? And someone goes, you know who they remind me of? Or they'll say, you know what level they on, right? Yeah. So it's like they put people into these buckets, right? So I'll put it this way. There's nobody, I'll put it like this. There's certain people in this industry who hasn't gotten their flowers. When I say gotten flowers, meaning you and I are in the same boat, right? I'm not afraid to follow anybody. Like, I don't have that fear. I'm like, oh man, they're a beast. I'm never going after them. Hey, we got time, because I'm going. Like, that's my attitude, right? So the reputation precedes itself. And your pen is to the point where I wouldn't care who went up before you. Like, I don't, like, if somebody said, oh man, if they go up, then nobody else should go up. Like, nah, there's plenty of comedians that could follow, like, you know, the hard hitters, you know what I mean? Because number one, your style is very, it's like a conversation. It's not over the top. It ain't, hey guys, you ready to hear some jokes? Let me ask you, like, when you first started doing comedy, did you take you a while to find your voice?
Yes and no. I say yes because, you know, it's something new and fresh.
Yeah.
But also no, because, like you said, like, I appreciate it. Like, I just try to make it a conversation.
Yeah.
So it's just getting past the easy jokes for me. You know what I'm saying? But I think I found who I wanted to be or who I was on stage pretty quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Someone kept asking me if I found my voice. And I was like, I guess. Like, well, you know, my whole thing was when I wasn't nervous about being on stage. Well, I was never nervous about being on stage. I was nervous about my material lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, you know, you're at a point sometimes where you hate doing jokes. Like, you're like, I don't like that joke. I'm only doing this joke to fill time. Like, you don't even like telling a joke. You'd be like, man, this is just a time filler.
Yeah.
But then when you get to your point where you got every single joke you enjoy telling and you can't wait to tell it, that's like when I feel like you found your voice, because my voice is just me. I'm like, I'm just me on stage. I'm not anybody else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, you do run into people who pattern themselves after certain people.
Yeah. And when I started, I definitely probably had a little Chappelle, little Jamie Foxx, little somebody in there.
Yeah.
But once you realize, like, I guess for me, once I just got felt comfortable, like you said, felt natural, I just became myself. So it was kind of like almost they were teaching me how to do it. But then once I grasp it, it's all me.
Right. Know? Right. So, I mean, you know, is doing comedy as long as you have it. And for those that don't know, Mike is based right now in like the Raleigh, North Carolina area, which is 2.5 hours away from me. And I'm in Charlotte. But your name is synonymous with mentorship and like the OG in that area. Like there's a few of y'all, you know what I mean? But you know, you kind of ring out more just due to the fact of, you know, what you're able to do on stage. You know what I mean? We had a couple of run-ins, like just you see my frustration, and you see we were at the North Carolina's Funniest Competition.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, I think I've told this story a number of times on the podcast, but the first year I was in it, they was on some bullshit. And you know, it was crazy. And then when I went and did it the second time, which was like three or four years later, you were hosting. You might have been hosting the first time too. But
yeah, I think I might have. Yeah.
You were hosting it, and then like you kept coming to me after the stage, like, "Yo, man, you about to win this thing." I'm like, "Man, please." And but it was funny because my mindset of that competition was I wasn't trying to let the audience breathe at all. Like I didn't want any question in the audience or the judge's mind who was the funniest person in that room that night.
Yeah, and you're in a prize fight, bro. You're like, ain't gonna go extra round. I'm here to knock you out now.
I came out throwing haymakers, and I mean, it was deliberate at the most sensical moment. Like I was not playing because I was so upset about the first time. I was so upset about that first time because I didn't feel like I was like, I'm not even supposed to be in this bullshit. Like, that's the first thing I felt like. I felt like, you know, it was so upsetting to me. But again,
you remember when I told you that first time? Mm-hmm. Remember I told you that first time? I was like, bro, this don't mean nothing, man. We already know who you are.
Yeah.
Even the guy who won thought you should have won.
No, he told me when he got that check. he's like, yo, there's no way. He's like, there's no way I was better than you. And I was like, hey, enjoy your money, man. Like, I was just trying to get bookings, though. Like, you know,
yeah.
We do comedy festivals, we do comedy competitions, and comedy competitions really aren't in the best light for comedians. You know, it's really industry's way of seeing who they could market.
Mm-hmm.
And who do they see that sets themselves apart? Like we ran into each other again at the NBC diversity was a stand up thing that we did for the finals, right? So we get up there, and it was no question. You and I were the most polished two comedians there, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So little do you, I don't know if you know this story, but so one of the big wigs mm-hmm. from the Charlotte area told me that there was a debate that went on after we all left when they were trying to decide who was going to go on to the final and who wasn't.
Uh-huh.
And my name kept going on the list and off the list, on the list and off the list.
Really?
And they were like, why are you guys hesitating about this person? And they said, because all he did was talk about his kids. And they were like, okay, but who else talked about their kids? And they was like, well, we got a lot of comedians that talk about his kids. They was like, not like him. Like, this dude got twins, they girls, and it was just different. Like, I've never heard his jokes from anybody else. And it was so funny that was the debate. But if you look at the dynamics of everybody else that they picked, they were gay, right? They were gay, and they were awkward. Yeah. And I was like, all right, so we don't want just normal, like, heterosexual men? They're like, nah. I was like, so I should have just said I was gay in the middle of the set. They were like, you probably would have just went right to the final.
You know what the funny thing is? I'm looking at everybody and it's like, man, they ain't picking my old ass for sure.
You know, it's crazy. Like, you know, ageism is starting to become a thing, right? Like, you never, you know, it's funny. Like, Deion Cole had a joke said, remember when you was the future? Like, you know, like, it was like, that's your hurt, right?
Yeah.
But ageism has become like a thing, you know. Like, I don't shy away from wearing my gray or whatever it may be, you know, and it's just, it's what it is. And, you know, it's funny that, like, I don't do colleges anymore. Like, I can't. Like, nobody wants to hear from their dad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But, Do you find that to be a challenge though?
Especially so I did a college like last month. And man, I'm like, bruh, these are my children. You know what I'm saying? It turned out to be good. I'm glad it went well, but man, it's almost like, are they even going to understand what I'm talking about? You know, but I wouldn't say dumb it down, but I just explained more and just kind of slowed it down. They got it. They were great. And then I had to start it off though. It's like I was a little nervous about doing the show because I'm pretty sure I got one or two of my kids out here I ain't met yet. So, you know, just to get them on board. But I did North Carolina A&T, so they were down, man. It was a good show. But yeah, I do find myself starting to not do those shows anymore just because, you know, I don't. It's funny. I moved to LA. Well, I went to LA. My oldest sister lives there. So I'm just about turned 52. She about turned 62. I showed up to the door. First thing out of her mouth is, "You need to get rid of that shit," and pointed at my chin. I was like, "Damn, you are LA." She's been out there 20 some years. But she was like, "You got to get rid of that gray." So when I lived out there, I was coloring it. And then I'm like, "Man, this ain't me. It looked like I got Beijing all over my head, you know?"
I
So I
mean,
just accept it, man. You know,
yeah,
it's
I
like,
mean, I colored mine for a little while. You know, I was using the dark brown or whatever, and it was like, after a while, I was just like, man, I'm tired of this. Like, you know what I mean? It's just,
we
I
got
am who
colored
I
every day,
am.
just about.
I mean, it's like, it's every 3 days almost. You know what I mean? And it's just get to the point where I'm just like, man, I don't got time to be going back and forth. You know, I feel like we'll find our niche. Like, we know our demographic. Like, when you look at your statistics on your social media, like, more than likely, my age range is more men between the ages of 45 and 55. Like, that's like the biggest group I have. The group under that is women around the same age. And I'm like, I mean, I'm not trying to impress 18-year-olds, you know what I mean? If they get my jokes, that's fine, but that's not the group that I want out at my shows. You know what I mean? So,
No, I feel you.
I mean, it's weird.
Yeah, it's when I do shows, especially if I'm hosting or featuring for somebody and they got a young crowd, I always it's funny, I always get a few followers out of it. But you know, at the same time, it's like, do they even get like, you know, I'm talking grown man shit. But I think also, like you said, if you make it a conversation, all they can do is listen and then pay attention. You know, so I think once I got that role, once I got comfortable with the silence, you know, then I was like, oh, I got him. I got him. You know, so because that was the first thing, getting through that silence. You'd be like, are do they not like me? Or is that, no, man, they listen. And I was like, oh, word. Okay. Even
That's
better.
Mike, that's one of the things we talk about on this podcast a lot, like being comfortable with the silence. Like, a lot of comedians don't figure that out. A lot of comedians, they ramble because they don't like the silence. But you know, it's that moment of clarity when you realize they're hanging on every word, and you like, man, I'm about to body slam this whole crowd by the time I get to this punchline. You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like one of those situations, like, it's great. I love long stories that I know the punchline is going to be a big payoff. You know, because you just waiting or anticipating them getting to that, with us getting to that point. So in your jokes, do you like, let me ask you, what do you prefer? Do you like misdirection more, or do you like a shocking punchline?
Probably misdirection. I think most of my jokes go misdirection a lot. I do have some shockers, but I don't know. I think I lean towards the misdirection just because you it makes them switch their head, like, you know, like what, you know. So it's fun to watch it work.
Misdirection is cool, especially when you know they don't see it coming. Like, now I do appreciate Anthony Jeselnik and a Quinn Dale. Like,
Absolutely.
there's no way I could figure out any time they about to do what they about to do. And you know their whole act is misdirection. And you just go, there's no way you're gonna figure out what they about to say. Like,
Yeah, and that's what I think I like about it. It's like even watching other comics do it, you're like, damn, I ain't even see it. And I do it. And you're still like,
Right.
I didn't even see it. I didn't even see that.
I didn't even see it. And it's so crazy. I actually had played around and toyed around with trying to come up with a half hour of just misdirection. That's hard, man.
That's a
It takes another level of writing to be able to, unless your mind automatically works that way. But it's definitely a challenge to be able to come up with something like that. And I wanna, honestly, and I've never explained this to anybody, especially not on a podcast. I really want to do an album called the Misdirection Album. And just have that whole album with just me doing misdirection.
That
But
would
the
be
ch
dope.
yeah, it would be, because it just shows your stretching, like your availability to be able to say, all right, just like when Todd Glass did the crowd work album. Like it's just crowd work. Like I'm just gonna do crowd work and that's it. And like a Big J Okerson, who will go on stage for an hour and tell two jokes. Like he had two jokes that he had written down, but he did crowd work the whole time and only weaved his way in and out of those two jokes and was fine with the set.
You know what I like is when Russell Peters writes a new hour. He doesn't have anything. He just goes up on stage for an hour.
So it let me ask you this. And so you are friends with Russell Peters and you do travel quite a bit with him. When you say he has nothing, so does he go and start telling old stuff or he just goes and starts rambling?
It starts rambling. It's amazing to watch. I watched him do his very first show to start an hour, and he just would go talk. And then after the show, he's like, I like these three things. And then the next show, you might hear those three things. And then the rest of it's like off the top of the dome. And then
What is he?
he
Is
don't
he
even
asking
write.
a party? Is he asking an audience for topics? Is he?
He just kind of talks. It's a conversation, and he just goes in wherever his mind's at. I just think he's like, all right, this is on my mind. And then just goes. It's really cool to watch because I've never seen him with a pen or a piece of paper.
Now the amazing thing about that, and let me explain like why that's possible, because you know and I know, to be in a room full of people who is just happy to be there is different than a crowd that don't know who you are.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So you got leniency, like you got tons of patience from that audience, because they're at that moment they just happy. They just like, oh my God, it's the guy
And
from
they're happy
TV,
to be saying something that no one else has seen. So
right?
you definitely got your positives in it, but to one, I wouldn't remember what I just said. I gotta write it down. I gotta have video.
Right,
But
video,
something. But yeah, he's like an elephant, man. His memory is like insanely great. And just the fact that he goes up there and does that for an hour and a half, and then just picks the nuggets out and then goes to the next show and be like, all right, let me try this out again. And then just to watch it form by the time it gets to where he's going to do a special, it's just like, what?
That is,
And
because an
then
hour is a long time, man. Like
it is
you think about that, that's a long time.
to be talking about whatever.
I mean, when you think about like a Ali who does all stories, like the average amount of time of each one of his stories is like 15 minutes. So four stories and you're done. That's an hour. Like, so you wonder like, wow, well, how does he do six different shows? Well, he's telling stories. It's 10 minutes, 15, 20, then another 10 minute, and then a five, and then he out. You know what I mean? So you're like, oh, that's where that time is. But us, what is our jokes? What, a minute a piece? So now we talking about trying to
Sometimes.
we doing 40 jokes a night.
Well, I had a friend, he quit, which really depressed me because I'm like, Dave, he quit. Mike, dude, Mike Spurlock, old school cat, one-liner guy. 45 minutes, one-liners. That's insane to me.
Dude, that's a ton of material.
That's a ton, man. And I'm like, bruh. Like I had to help him, like, because he was such a one-liner. He's like, I don't know how to put this in an act, because he always did. And I'm like, man,
One-liners.
you got these group these together, group these together. I help them group them together, and then it's almost like a story, but they're just one-liners. crazy to watch. And but his mind worked like that.
Yeah.
That's one reason why I hate that he quit, because, you know, when you work with somebody like that, you inherit a little bit of it.
Yeah. So and
definitely helped me out, you know?
Yeah. And the art of the premise, right? Like the art of the premise, like talk, like we could talk through this, right?
Yeah.
I had to talk to a comedian I worked with a little while ago, and this comedian kept asking questions. And I was like, first of all, you've been doing comedy way too long to be asking questions. Like, stop asking questions. And they were looking at me like, what do you mean? I was like, stop asking for validation. Like, what are you doing? Like, it's your show. Like, why are you asking who out here got kids? Like, that's not going to get you anywhere. You have kids.
Yeah.
So say, I got two kids, right? like, don't you think that's a better way to start your joke? Like, so I'm like trying to explain the difference between why you ask the question, what if nobody answers? How awkward is that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's why I stopped doing it.
Right. So I'm trying to explain like to them, and they go, "Wow, I never looked at it that deep before." I said, "Yo, you asked them 10 questions. Are they taking a test? Is it a pop quiz at the end of this? Like, stop asking. Talk about what you're going to talk about. Yeah. I don't care if they all voted for Trump. You can be like, I like Biden, and they're gonna be like, boo, okay. Let me tell you why. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't be like going to who voted for Biden. Like, you don't go and ask those questions.
Like,
it's crazy.
Yeah.
And so, like, the art of the premise. So there's gems out there where you can bring a premise up and people can laugh before you even get to the setup. Like, you can be like, you know, like the famous Atlanta thing. You ever, you know, I'd be like, You ever mess somebody with no neck, and then like people start laughing automatically and be like, you know what I mean? And then like they start doing the imitation or whatever. But like the art of the premise is always great. I think when Chappelle did his show and he goes, he just had the punchline.
He had
the punchline, and then he went and told the joke, and I was like, yo, that's crazy, because there's tons of us who can do stuff like that. Like, we could come up with a funny punchline and then figure out where the joke is going to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've written like that plenty of times. It's like, oh, I like this. All right, now I got to put something with this. You know?
right.
And someone's writing backwards, you know?
Yeah. And now, you know, the whole writing thing is where the challenge lies too, because sometimes we do have to get motivated to write. I mean, there's others of us who write all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, how much stuff have you written that's never made it to stage?
Oh my God. Like books.
Yeah, because you don't think it's funny.
Yeah.
Like you don't think it's funny, or you can't find the funny in it. If somebody just went and read one of our notebooks, they'd be like, why haven't you used this? And you go, I was just messing around. I was thinking, I didn't think too far into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think I get more joy out of personal stories than I do about me just trying to be funny with writing a joke.
Yeah. Like definitely when I started, I was a student at it, you know, like I wrote every day. I always try to come up with a new five.
Mm-hmm.
And it got to the point where it's like, oh, I got all this material, but it hasn't been perfected. I've just been doing them and then be like, all right, next.
Yeah.
You know, so then I had to learn like, oh no, it's not done. None of these are done.
Right.
And the worst thing someone told me is a joke's never finished. I was like, damn, that's tough.
It's not, though. Mike, it's crazy that, you know, we think that way. Like, think of one joke that you have that you feel is perfected, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I deconstruct it and then go rewrite it.
Right.
And you'd be like, man, like I'm known for the title one right here, the TTBS, right? So if I go back and rewrite that joke, yeah, I can just make a whole brand new joke out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, man, I have so many old jokes. I go back and look just to be like, oh, man, I was crazy then. Then I was like, oh, wait a minute. Bing. That's why I say never throw a joke away. You know,
you don't have to. You know, some people will come up to me like, you don't do that joke no more. I go, man, I ain't told that joke in years. You know what I mean? And it's so crazy because they go, man, that was my favorite joke. And I go, I hate that joke. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's like, you know, it's like.
Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mark Brady's good for that comic up here. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, that one joke is funny, because Mark probably know my stuff better than me. He's like, man, do you ever do this one joke? And I was like, actually, I forgot about that one. I'm gonna do it tonight just to put it back in the
I'm gonna
you know
do
what I'm
it
saying?
tonight. Right. Somebody brought up to me the my gas station joke. And it was, you know, the crazy thing about that gas station joke was it was a way for me to connect with the locals every show I did, no matter where I was across the country. Because all I would ask is, what's your grocery store? What's the name of your grocery store? So then I would go through, do the joke, and then I go through the pumping of the gas and all the questions they ask you at the book. And everybody would go, and it was like one of those quick hitting laugh, 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 laugh. And I get done, and I have the misdirection at the end. And everybody be like, oh, and that's to start the show. So then everybody would remember it because, you know, it'd be go through the whole thing about the gas station. And it was like, man, that's a genius way to start a show. Yeah, because they don't know me. I don't know them. But now I'm connecting with them locally. I'm gonna hit him with a misdirection. Now they gotta know, they gotta pay attention. Now they're gonna be like, I like this guy, but I don't know him. And that's
The
like,
science
you know,
behind it, man.
it's science, psychology, all
All
of
that.
those things have to happen at the same time. And it's like, you know, now when I come out on stage, I do a definition of comedy, and then I explain to people, if you're offended, that ain't for you. And it's crazy because even I worked with Mark Norman this past weekend, and he was like, that's a great deconstruction of the crowd. I go, yeah. I kind of take the walls down. You know, people are intimidated, but I also let them know, by no means do you come up to me after the show and tell me what you didn't like. Just understand what I just told you. Don't tell me what you didn't like, because whatever you didn't like is for the person that's throwing their, like, spitting their drink out behind you. That's who that joke was for. You know what I mean? Stop.
Exactly.
Yeah, stop thinking that highly of yourself.
Yeah,
That every joke is for you, right?
right. Mark Norman is, I like him because I've worked with him a couple of times. He's just like, hey, someone write a new joke tonight and do it tomorrow. You know, it's just like almost like this relief to work with a headliner that is so free to be like, man, I don't care. Just do whatever. You know, just be funny. Him and Joe List a while back, last year or whatever, someone was like, yo, they just gave you a shout out on their podcast. I was like, what? And Joe List was a huge fan of farts, just farts, period. So I had a fart joke, and man, he, like the part you're talking about as far as premises go. So the premise is I was in a waiting room, it was real quiet, and I farted. Didn't know it was coming, scared me. The messed up part is the dude sitting next to me thought I said something. And then immediately, like everyone, and I was like, guys, like, I'm sorry, what'd you say? So now I got to come up with some words that sound like whatever it was that came out my ass, right? So to watch them to discuss that joke, I didn't realize how many layers it had, but the way they broke it down, I was like, oh yeah, he's like, his punchline is a fart and his tag is a fart. Like, it's brilliant, you know? And I was just like, oh man, but the layers in it. I was like, damn, I didn't think of it like that. I was just being silly, but
So they broke that down on the podcast. That's dope. So very similar. Rest in peace to Clint Knorr. Clint called
Man,
me.
my dude, man.
Clint called me when I worked with Mark that one time in Columbus. This was before he passed away, obviously. He called me, was like, yo, they mentioned you on the Mark Norman mentioned you on his podcast. And I was like, oh yeah, like we went through some bullshit this weekend up in Columbus. And he was like, yeah, they were talking about it. I was like, yeah. So this that was cool because like this past weekend, he remembered me. Like we called me, he's like, hey, I remember you. I was like, yeah. I was like, when we was in Columbus, he's like, yeah. That's, you know how Mark, he's like, he's awkward. Yeah, so he's awkward in real life because like he's like real standout. He's like, it's like an uncomfortable space he's in. And it's so funny because I don't know, it's like that quirkiness is what makes it so funny.
Yeah, man, and he's a great writer too. He's fearless, but
Nah, he don't care about nothing, bro.
don't care, man. But he doesn't look like it. You know what I'm saying? Like, his whole demeanor doesn't scream, I'm fearless, but it's such a beast. He's a beast. He's one of
Yeah,
my
man.
favorites to watch.
Absolutely, man. And it's so funny because somebody like him would still be nervous about going on stage.
Yeah, well,
I'd be
I have
sitting
to
there.
be nervous.
You do?
Yeah, I have to be. It's only when I'm comfortable I get worried.
Wow.
Yeah. So I have to be nervous. That's why I stopped carrying a list, because I got comfortable with it.
Wow. So, okay, let me break this down.
All right.
So, in order for you to feel like you're about to do well, you have to be nervous before you go on stage.
Yeah, because it's like all my senses are heightened. I'm
Right.
anxious, I'm nervous, I'm excited.
The adrenaline is going.
Yeah, my adrenaline's going, so I got to have that. And it's funny because sometimes I'll make myself nervous. If I'm not, like, oh shit, what joke am I gonna do? No one, what joke
Wow.
am I gonna do? But I have to have that nervousness because it puts me on my toes. It makes me aware of what's my surroundings are. It's like all these emotions come up. Now, when I'm comfortable, to me, I'm like, man, I feel like I don't care enough. Like I'm just going through the motions, and I don't
Right.
think I sell it. But when I'm nervous, I can sell it better.
Wow. Dude, I never heard anybody explain it that way before. Like, so that's the crazy thing. I never get nervous
Yeah.
about going on stage. Like, I get anxious to get on stage. And
Yeah,
then
yeah.
once I'm there, I feel most comfortable. But people be like, are you ever nervous before you go on stage? Like, not at all. Like, I
Yeah.
can't wait to get on this stage. Like, I'm
Yeah.
like, yo, people are like, man, I'm like, man, what time this show started, man? Let's go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not
Yeah.
waiting for nothing or whatever. It's just, I just need to get on that stage. And once I have that microphone stand and I'm placing it behind me, it's go time. It's like the opening up of the crowd, and I'm ready to go in all the way in. You know what I mean? Small crowd, big crowd, it don't matter. Like, I'm ready at that moment. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think my main thing is like, just don't suck. What I'm saying?
Yo,
And so that
it's
gets me,
crazy. Yeah.
because a lot of people's like, man, you're really calm on stage. I was like, that's because I'm bow-legged. Otherwise, my knees be knocking, But I gotta have that energy. I gotta have that nervous energy. Even though I
Yeah.
don't know it, I just gotta have it, because, like I said, I'm gonna be aware. I'm gonna be heightened, sensed, and I think I sell it better when I'm. Because when I'm calm, I don't, I do a lot of animation in my
Yeah.
act.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't put forth the effort when I'm just like, So I gotta be like, gotta be nervous. Gotta have that
You
just to
know
make
what?
sure I sell it.
You know what pisses me off more than anything when I get on stage?
What
The half clap. That
is
pisses, dude. Dude. The
it?
half clap, the half clap changes my whole persona. Like, I'm excited to get on stage, but when I get half clap, dude, I'll be like, who the fuck y'all think y'all are? Like, listen, dude, I go in on
Yo.
it. And you see a lot of clips on my social media where I'm going off on the audience because of a half clap. And
Yeah.
it's like, and I, you know, Harrisburg is a perfect example. Like, I go in on Harrisburg every time I go to Harrisburg. I'll be like, who do y'all think y'all are? Like, I mean, like, y'all live in Harrisburg, right? And it'd be like, I just be going in on my
Yeah. Well, it's funny because same way, it changes my whole dynamic. I get to half clap. I
Yeah.
still have to, because I'm mellow, I still have to keep it.
Yeah.
But also, I'm just like, word? All right,
Yeah.
but you know what I'm
Bet.
saying? I'm gonna call it out.
That's a
I'm definitely
bet.
gonna call it out.
Well, so another point. I'm glad you say call it out. People don't understand that comedians have to point out the obvious. Like, they have to. For you to ignore, that's like somebody tripping and falling over a chair while you on stage and you keep on with your joke. Dude, like, honestly, you're not going to address that? Like, come on. Like, that is the thing that people don't understand about comedy. It's an insult not to address things. If I get on stage and people are half clapping me and I'll acknowledge it and I go, hey guys, great to be here. It's not. I'm like, first of all, y'all clap for me like I ain't funny. Like, you know what I'm saying? First of all. Second of all, now you're gonna feel bad about that bullshit clap y'all gave me when I get done. You know what I mean? They're gonna be like, we should have clapped, boy. We should have clapped. Y'all gonna be ashamed of yourself. Like, some of y'all gonna go home and kill yourself. Like, it's certain things like you just do. Like, it's gonna be in your back of your head for the rest of the time. We really should have clapped more for that dude. I also like the group the audience into a group when we like it's almost unfair. Like, I do this quite a bit. I'll group the audience into a group of themselves to make them feel bad about themselves. Like, so one time I'm doing this show and the sound system, I didn't know the sound system was messed up. So I'm just talking to the microphone. I'm thinking whatever I'm saying to the microphone, they can hear me clearly out there. That was not the case. So I'm bombing horribly. Not to any fault of my own. I just didn't know they couldn't hear me, right?
Yeah.
So I'm bombing horribly because I'm getting no reactions to any jokes. I mean, I'm hitting punchlines hard. You hear me?
Yeah.
So I said, all right, listen, I'm about to get off the stage. I got one more joke to tell, and y'all probably not going to laugh at this the same way y'all didn't laugh at all the other ones. I was like, but if you guys ever see anybody in this room and you are in the same room with any of these people again, disperse immediately. You guys are bad for me and for society as a whole. Like,
went in.
Yeah. And I say, and if anybody comes to me after the show and tell me how funny I was, I swear to God, I'm going to punch you right in the face. Man, woman, or child. It does not matter who it is. I said, do not tell me how funny I was. I said, this was called a bombing. We're going to own this together. Y'all was a part of this. I said, I should get t-shirts made. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was.
Well, I was here in 2024.
I don't want to hear nothing about, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, we all have those moments where we bomb. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sometimes it's shocking to people. Like, I can't believe they bomb. I can't believe this crowd. And they go, no, it was the crowd. No, it wasn't the crowd. You know, sometimes you have to take onus on it for yourself. My job is to get these people out. If it was the crowd, that means every single comedian on the stage will have to do the same thing that I just did, and then it will say it was the crowd.
Yeah, you know but even then, so that was one thing, like, when I started, I would bomb, and I remember how the crowd was.
Right.
And then I would go back and rewrite my jokes or re-situate my jokes in my act.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this crowd's like this, so maybe I should have started with this joke instead of this joke.
Right.
To the point where once you get that same similar crowd coming back through, you're like, oh, I got this.
Right.
I know how you are now.
Right.
You know, and I keep telling people, like, especially these younger cats, like, you can only learn it until you can't learn it until you experience it in comedy. That's just it. You got to experience it. And once you do, you adjust from there. You might not get it the second time, but I guarantee you by the third or fourth time, you're going to know. But just keep, you know, just gotta keep grinding it out, like, because crowds are different. Every crowd's different, but crowds are similar.
Yeah,
and we can find that key to break that whatever that was, you know, the half clap shit.
Yeah,
like, you know, like, all right, I got a key for this. You know,
I got something for you.
So I got something for you.
When you on a roll with like a Russell Peters and stuff like that, you know, those obviously the huge shows. Do you still prefer the comedy club or do you like the arena setting?
I mean, the arena setting is a lovely time, but clubs all day.
Yeah.
Clubs all day, man, because it's more intimate, basically. You know, like over the summer, last summer, me and Russell we did the Deepak here in Raleigh.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did MGM, Grand and National Harbor, and then another casino up in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful rooms, great service, you know, make you feel good. But it's such a disconnect from, you know, it's like when you're in the club, they're on top of you. Like, they're in your face, you know,
and
everyone can see you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You aren't looking like a little piece of rice, you know what I'm saying? They're right there in your face. So, I mean, I love doing both. So if anyone hears this, I'll do either. The clubs, definitely, man. There's nothing like a nice, dark comedy club, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I love clubs. I mean, like you said, right up on you, connecting with the audience. Oh, obviously connecting with the audience, meaning seeing the first three rows in front of you. Are we able to connect? Some people don't understand. We can't see the back of the room. People be like, oh, you ain't see me waving? Like, no, I can't see. It's a spotlight in my eye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's
like... You ever been to a DUI checkpoint and they'd be like, have you been drinking? You're like, you can't see past that light. That's how it is.
That's funny. You ever said that on stage? That's funny. Nah. Like,
but I mean, sometimes them lights be so bright, it feel like that. Like, geez.
I know. But it's so funny when you ask a question. It's like, clap your hands. If something, you see people waving their hand. Like, dude, are you waving your hand? Like, I can't see you.
I call them out.
Yeah.
I'd be like, who smoked? And I'm like, clap if you smoke. And I'm like, yeah, you high right now. You raising your hand. You raising your hand. If this was Simon Says, y'all out.
Y'all two people that raise your hand, y'all clap your hands together. Because that's what I just asked you. Like, I just told you.
No doubt, man.
I just told you not to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yo, so hecklers, you're Mike Mello, so you Mello on stage is real laid back. I wouldn't suspect you get too many of those.
I get happy hecklers.
Okay.
So they're you can't be mean to them because they're enjoying themselves.
Right.
So you don't want to put them down. I'll give them their little 15 seconds.
Right.
When I ease away from them.
Yeah.
You know, but I'll tell you one time, Comedy Zone in Greensboro.
Okay. We are high up on that one. So were they in the bottom section, like right near the stage or further back?
They had a long table in the front.
Okay.
Not right in the front, but right behind.
Right.
Come in, reeking the herb, loud, you know, but, you know, it's whatever. They're loud through everybody. I'm headlining. Right. And I get up there, and it got to the point where they're talking so much to where other tables are looking at them.
Right.
And I said, hey, Andrew, your birthday, right? Happy birthday. You know, just can you keep it down? You know.
Right.
People are starting to just keep going with your show, and it's like, I can't even hear myself.
Right.
So I went on with the show, and then next thing you know, the table's loud again. So I just start beatboxing, and everyone start clapping, and then I'm like, "Shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up!" Right? Everyone's singing along, clapping.
Right.
One of the dudes at the table stood up. Now you know how high we are on that stage,
right?
Man, we almost eye to eye, bro.
That's how tall that dude was.
He was like, you just told me shut the fuck up. And I was like, but the beat was hot. But the beat, I turned. They finally had to get the dude from the kitchen to come get him.
Right.
Because they ain't got no security.
They ain't got no security in Greensboro, bro. Yeah.
And here I am leaving the club looking side to side. But, man, I just try to stay. It's hard for me to go off and then go back to being mellow.
Nah, right. So,
I try to handle it as smooth as possible.
Yeah.
The times it has happened. I'll tell you this one story real quick, man.
Take your time, man.
This was the best bomb I think I've ever had. So me, I was opening up for Michael Blackson in Rocky Mountain.
Okay.
It looked like it was in a middle school cafeteria, right?
Right.
So I go up there, I eat it. Like I bomb. So Mike Spurlock, my boy, he was there. They asked him if he wanted to do some time, right?
Right.
So I had this joke about guilty white people.
Right.
And the joke is, you know, like my friends are like, oh, man, I'm sorry what they did to your family back in the day with slavery. I'm like, well, give me $5 then.
Right.
These three black girls in the front decided to have a discussion on why it should be way more than $5.
Wow.
Right. Just to set it up for you. Right. So then it was downhill from there. Right.
Right.
So then they asked my boy Mike, which he was just driving me. So he goes up there and he rips, right? Short little white dude, one-liners, kills it, right? Mm-hmm. I'm at the bar. I asked for another drink. They cut me off. I ain't had but one drink. They cut me off. So Mike's at the table with those three black girls that decided to have a discussion about my joke.
Right.
So then Mike's getting nice and drunk. They're buying him drinks. I'm at the bar, like, sipping on ice. And, Mike's like, yo, we going to mama's house, which one of the girls was mama, right?
Okay.
To go smoke. So we end up in the hood of Rocky Mountain.
Right.
And it's just like the girl sitting on one side. I'm in the middle and Mike's on the other side. She goes, hey, y'all, we went to the comedy show. He, the comedian, and reached around me and pointed at my boy.
Oh, right. Wow.
To the point where I had to lean back just so she could point to him. Then she goes, she looks right at me and goes, oh, he was there too. So, man, my boy Mike was like, man, you took that on the chin. I was like, I ain't had nowhere else to go, but we stuck at this lady house. But man, I bombed so bad. And but after that, I was like, you know what? I'm alive. I'm still living.
Right.
Somewhat.
Right.
But boy,
It happens, man. It really happens, man. It's like, I remember doing a show up in DC one time, and these women in the crowd were very aggressive towards single men. And when I say aggressive, they ain't like nothing I had to say. Like, as soon as I got on stage and said, I'm recently single, like, it was like, what'd you do? Like, I was like, what'd I do? Like, what are you talking about? Like, they finna let me tell the joke. Like, that was just the premise, you know what I mean?
And already talking.
Oh man, dude. So I'm doing a joke and I'm doing this other joke. And somebody, I said something, it was like a misdirection. This girl in the background, I was like, you better have said that. I was like, hold up, time out. Like, time out. Like, I was like, what is the deal? You know what I mean? Like, what is going on? Y'all? You know what I mean? And it was so crazy because I was sitting there like, yo, that's wild. And it was crazy because, you know, you invite people out. Sometimes you come to some towns, you got people coming out to see you for the first time.
Yeah.
And when you don't do spectacularly well, they like, oh man, that was rough. Like, yeah, man. It's like sometimes it be like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Sometimes like they thinking like, well, I thought he was funny. Like all the stuff he put up, all the clips he put up is funny. Like, look, man, audience derive, they drive more of your performance than you think they do. Yes. And it's like you can tell the same exact jokes that you got a standing ovation for the night previously. And go up the next night and bomb miserably.
The show previously.
Yes. Yo, yes. Same venue, different audience. So
oh my God.
Like,
man, I don't know what it is on Friday nights for me, but first show, nice. Second show, I'm like, what the hell?
Friday night, late show Friday night is usually a drunk person causing a disturbance.
Mm-hmm.
In most cases, that's what it is. Like, and it's always something extra happening. And you just go, wow, like, why is this a thing? You know what I mean? It's like, and it's, I don't know. You handle hecklers better than I do. I think I have too much of my mother in me. So when I say I got too much of my mother in me, I'm going to get with you because you interrupted me.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna make sure you understand I'm pissed off at you and I'm going to tell you about yourself.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where I think one of the best ways I handled heckler before, I just gave him a stare as if I was staring at my children and I was disappointed. And it was so awkward.
Yeah.
Like the crowd went from laughing to feeling bad for the person I was staring at.
Like, they was in like, trouble.
Right.
You about to get a whooping.
Right. And I said nothing. I just stopped in the middle of my sentence and was like, I was just staring at them. And dude, when I tell you, like, they literally stopped, like they were children, like they did something wrong. Yeah. And it was just like standing there, like it was like a nervous understanding. And I was sitting there like, say one more thing, like one of them type joints.
Yeah.
And I got done and I was like, we adults, man. What the fuck are y'all doing? You know what I mean? Like, why am I talking to you about this?
Yeah.
Then you know I got my infamous viral clips online when we telling people shut the fuck up and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and they be like, Jay, you be getting all that took, man. I have a minimum amount of time on that stage, man. I have
yeah, no and you're going to get every bit of it.
Dealing with these. And most of the time it's when I'm featuring for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's never when I'm headlining.
Yeah.
When I'm headlining, I never get the heckler.
Yeah. Because well, it's funny, I stopped inviting friends to my recordings, right? So that last recording I did, last album I did, I was like, this is my third try. If this ain't working, I ain't doing one. So the first time, and I like, you know, I love those jokes, but the first time, and joke about a trailer, like all my high school friends were out there, like people I haven't seen since. I mean, it was packed out. It was a lovely time. I had a great time. But it's shit I couldn't post. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My friend's like, well, what's wrong with that? I'm like, well, hold on. Let me get to the point. Well, I think it's okay. Like, we're having a conversation.
Wow.
And I'm just looking at him like, bruh, what part of recording?
Right.
You got to be on it too. You know what I'm saying?
That's so funny, man.
But I wasn't even mad at him. I was just like, well, there goes that clip. But my friends are partiers. So it's like, especially my old school, high school friend.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo, third time I had Mark Brady hosting for me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, just tell him, man. Mark said, look, Mello's excited. It's his third try, so don't fuck this up. It's on you guys. Do not fuck this up.
Right.
So he put that out there quick before he brought me up. But I was like, yo, this is his third try.
Wow.
So please.
Did you get it? Did you get it the third time?
Yeah, I got it. There was still a little disturbance, but it didn't pick up, so we good.
So my first album was a surprise to the audience.
Mm-hmm.
It was a graduation night at the Comedy Zone, and I was going to close the show out.
Oh, nice.
And right before they introduced me, It said, "You guys have a seat. I know everybody's excited about going to see their friends that they came to see tonight, but the comedian coming to stage is taping his very first album tonight, and you guys are about to be a part of it."
Oh, nice.
Right. So it's sold out because it's all free. So it's already packed. The audio is going to be great. He's like, "We just ask you guys not to yell anything out and please don't spill any or drop any glasses on the ground. And you guys ready to have a great time and be a part of this?" And that crowd goes crazy.
That's
And
dope.
I come out and I do the thing and whatever. And that was my TTBS album. My second album that I just finished in last July, that was my birthday bash. And I told everybody in the beginning, advertisement said that I was gonna be a, it was gonna be a recording. So when Marvin finished his set, I have Ryan Davis, Marvin Hunter, and when I finished my set, I said, "All right, 5 7 minute intermission. I'm gonna get mic'd up, come back. My nephew's gonna introduce me. Album recording time. Now's not the time for you to try to be a superstar. Just laugh at the joke, even if it ain't funny. Laugh with everybody else, and we'll explain it to you afterwards." You know what I mean? You know what I mean? And it was like, I was like, and then you'll be able to say, "I was a part of that." I said, "But don't nobody try to outlaugh somebody and be like, you hear me back there? Like, don't do that." Everybody laughed or whatever. But yeah, that's pretty much how it was. But you're right. You gotta have somebody to be able to explain, because it's the same way when somebody's doing a live videotaping and they have the crowd say, "Hey, we're gonna do a loud applause, and then the producer will tell you when to calm everything down, and then they'll, record a couple of things or whatever." Yeah.
Yeah, that was I did that with when I went to go film that thing with Dale Hughley. So it
Yeah.
was my first TV joint
Yeah.
thing, and I'm like, oh damn, it's kind of cool to see how they do it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But also it was kind of nerve-wracking when he got a camera on a boom, two cameras here and three cameras
Oh.
right in front of you, bro.
How
You like,
tight is that though? Right? Don't you
well,
feel tight and you can't move?
dude, like this.
Yeah.
Right, stuck.
I saw cue
But
cards. I'm like, am I supposed to be reading that? Like, dude, I was all over the place.
oh man, we had to do cut scenes for like holiday stuff. Like, hi, it's Mike Mello, and you're watching Hit Corps, shit like that. So
Yeah.
we had like five or six to do. Man, I was flubbing this one. I could not get my lips to work.
Right.
And afterwards, Ali Sadiq come up to me. He's like, man, they should use all yours for bloopers. I was like, damn.
Right.
Feel like ninth grade all over again, bro. Like,
Listen up.
but it's my first time ever doing something like that. It was exciting,
Right.
but also I was like, I don't know, it just feels so out of place.
Yeah,
So I'm glad I got that under my belt.
my first TV appearance was Stand Up Nashville. And they made me go first.
I had to go first.
And I told them, I said, "I feel bad for the people that go after me." And then it was like, "So who?" They said, "Why is that?" I said, "Because this is my first TV appearance. I'm doing all closers." And everybody was like, "What?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "Everything I got is a closer." They was like, "Damn, right?" So I go up there and murder it. Like, I go up there and kill the room. They're like, "Holy shit." I was like, "Yeah, man." Like, I was like, I got all my good shit out. You know what I mean? And I think when I got done, we were in, obviously, in Nashville, and the guy came up, was like, "Man, I told my wife I thought you was what's your boy name from I thought you was Darius Rucker." I was like, what the fuck, man? He's like, "Yeah." Because they saw me standing about to go on stage. They're like, "Oh, it's Darius Rucker. Darius Rucker about to go up." And I was like, "Ain't no goddamn Darius Rucker." You know what I mean? That shit is hell, yo.
You should have said, yeah, and got hood with him. Like, there's Rucker, hood is a motherfucker.
He hood as hell. You know what I mean? Pretty much. So what I like to do on my podcast, and you know what? I actually, when I started it back up, I forgot that I used to do it until somebody reminded me that I was doing it on other episodes. So we're gonna start it back up with your episode. If you remember the Actors Guild Studio interviews with James Lipton, he would do the questions at the end. He would ask certain questions, and I put my own little spin on it. So I got to hit you with these questions, and your response is just whatever you feel like the response needs to be at that. All right.
All right,
So first question is, what is your favorite word?
favorite word. Wow.
Yes.
Shit.
There you go.
Gotta be. Gotta
That's
be.
what like my man from The Wire, right?
Yes,
Yeah.
he hold that thing too, man.
No doubt, no doubt. What's your least favorite word?
Least favorite word. That's a good question. Least
Yeah.
favorite word. I would say, hey, don't know. That's a good
Yeah.
question. That's a good
Okay.
question.
Okay. If it
I'm gonna
comes
have
to
to
you, let
skip
me
that.
know.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come to me, be like, damn.
Yeah. So, my phrase is TTBS. That's that bullshit. And it stands for anything and everything. You have no control over in your life. In your world, what would you consider that's that bullshit?
That's that bullshit.
Yeah.
Politics.
Yo, man, like
Politics.
100%, man. 100%.
Oh, all of it.
Right.
I grew up in it. I
Right.
told my mom was an activist. She
Right.
did Jesse Jackson's run for president and shit.
Right.
And I hated every part of it.
Right. I
I was
feel.
behind the scenes seeing all of it. Politics. That's that bullshit.
All day, all day.
All day, every day. Both sides. I don't give a damn. All
Nah,
of
I
them.
feel you, man. I mean, anytime it's fine, once even get in a conversation about it, I'm like, why are we talking about this? Like,
Yeah.
how is this helping our every day? Like, me and you got to get up and go to work every single day. Like, why is that even important right now? Like, how is that impacting me? You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So the opposite of that, what is the shit to you?
The shit.
Yeah.
Oh man. This is comedy. My
Yeah.
comedy friends, man, honestly.
Yeah.
Comedy people, man.
Yeah.
When I started this thing, you feel like an outsider, but as soon as you get in, you're like, oh, this is fam.
Yeah.
Like-minded people. So definitely comedy, everything surrounds it.
Cool.
Friends and comedy, all that.
Yep. When you, let's say for instance, I was trying to introduce you to a crowd that didn't know who you was, and I was like, all right, I'm introducing you to this crowd. What will be your walk-up music? Like, what would be the music that would just encapsulate who you are as a person going on stage?
Oh shit. Actually, I just started playing it not too long ago, man. I had to go back with the old cameo, man. Candy. Take me back, that two-step on it.
Dude, that joint, listen, that's become viral again on TikTok. Like, everybody using that sound bite. Like, some of the younger kids are like, I don't know what song that is. They talk about strawberries, and I was like, dude, you talk about cameo? Like, that just so funny, yo.
It's funny because I always take my dad out. He got dementia,
Yeah.
so I take him out, listen to old school music, and every time that one comes on, we both like, oh yeah,
Yeah,
it's just
man.
one of them feel goods. And it
Yeah.
reminds me of the time when they used to take me to them grown up parties. You know what I'm saying? It's
Yeah.
like go play
Yeah.
with the kids, and they'd be out there dancing. So yeah, definitely cameo is like that.
Yeah. Man, listen, man, like definitely spend as much time with your pops as possible, man.
Absolutely.
My mom was dealing with aphasia and dementia at the same time, and those things. Music did settle her down. Like, I
Yeah.
would play the old school Motown. That's what I would play for her. I'll play old school Motown, or I'll play Walter Hawkins
That's what I
gospel
do,
or something like that, and it would just bring back like memories going up to Yonder. I play all that kind of stuff. It would just we just sit there. I just have it on my phone, and I just sit it next to her, and we'd be sitting there drinking coffee or eating ice cream or something like that. And she'd just be sitting there popping her, bobbing her head, and tapping her foot. And I, you know, and that those things matter, man. Those the memories are gonna
it
stay with
brings
you.
back everything. Yeah, like
Yeah.
you can go on my IG page and I do like a little compilation. I haven't done it in a
Yeah.
while, but me and my
Yeah.
dad just cruising in the car, listening to good
Yeah.
music.
Yeah,
And just
man.
watching them get excited and reciting the words. Boom, boom,
Yeah.
boom. It's
Yeah.
beautiful things.
Good
Music
stuff,
is
man.
powerful, man. Yeah.
Absolutely. So if when your time is done, when you done performing, you don't want to do comedy anymore. I'm done. I'm out. We finished with the comedy, man. What's your walk-off music to
My
end your
walk-off
career?
music?
Yeah.
Ooh. Dang. Honestly, I'd have to go with some DMX, man.
Yeah.
Slipping, falling, and pick. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just gotta have
Yeah.
that growl in the back.
Yeah,
Them
dude.
classes.
Yeah. So think about that. Like 99, Immaculate Year, like DMX comes out with his first album. He does two albums in 99, right? Like, so he had all of this stuff. Just it's kind of like if somebody said do a comedy album and I got like 20 years worth of jokes. I'm like, yo, I gotta do two, like back to back. You know what I mean? That's how much material I got. That's what I felt like what DMX did with 99. Like, he had
Oh man.
two dope albums that came out in the same year.
Thick, man. Still, DMX still like my dude. I still rock it every day. At least one
Absolutely.
song a day. You know what I'm saying? But
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you wasn't doing comedy, what would you think you'd be doing? What would be your career path?
I'd be robbing fools, son.
Right.
Nah. Honestly, probably construction. I always I always did construction growing up. I always wanted to build houses. You know what I'm saying? I always wanted to build my own house. So definitely construction.
So you do like, do you do stuff like carpentry? Do you like meet model or anything like that? Or you just kind of like whenever a project comes up, you just do it yourself?
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I got doing construction taught me a lot. So still not great with carpentry, but most anything else I can do.
That's what's up. That's
And
dope.
get me off that roof. I ain't doing roofing no more, so
Yeah,
I leave
man.
that to someone else.
That's a
Oh
different monster right there, man. That's
yeah, I was a
dope.
roofer for a half a day. I was like, man, I'm gonna slide off this thing, and I'm gonna do flooring from now on.
No doubt. I hear you on that, man. So let me ask you. So I always say like a good comedy tour would have 3 to 4 comedians on it. Like a 3 or 4 good comedians on it, everybody doing 15 to 20 minutes a piece to be able to bring a show across like successfully without any big names, people that's not well known. Who would you put as your foursome to be able to say this would kill every single night?
Well, definitely gotta have my brother, you man, gotta have you on
Hey,
it.
dude, that listen, if we me if listen, if me and you, Mike, if me and you were on a show together consistently, it would be a problem. I'm wondering who the other two people are going to be though. That's
Oh
the
yeah, right.
question. Like
So me, you, JD Etheridge, man.
I do know JD.
I love the way he thinks. And he's got that Uncle Daddy vibe. And then the last one is tough. You know, I always enjoy working with Mark Brady.
Mark is fun, man. Mark is fun. He always looks out for me too. He always remembers, like, Jay, can you come do this for me? I'm like, yeah, I got you, Mark. You know what I mean?
Yeah, have you done his spot yet?
The one
Think
at the wine place. Yeah, I
yeah,
did. Yeah, I did.
nice spot, right?
It is a
Good
nice spot.
crowd. Yeah, Mark's good people, and a great writer, man. So yeah, I would throw Mark Brady in there definitely. I
That's
mean, there's
dope,
definitely
man.
some other ones I could put in there, but off gate, that'll be the pretty well.
You still a legend in the Jay Bliss and Friends shows.
Of
Like
course.
people don't remember your name, but they always say, yo, who was the skinny dude from Raleigh? Yo, like they always say the same thing, yo. And I mean like Mike Mello. They were like, yo, that dude was hilarious. And it's so
Oh man.
crazy because you connected with all of my, like everybody from college is that like, you were their favorite. Like it was like that, but like there was no anybody was there from John C. Smith or from A&T. Like everybody was like, yo, that was the dude. That was
Yeah.
the dude. But then
That's what's
like
up.
the hood people was like, yo, Marvin was the dude. Like it was back and forth because the lineup was crazy. You know what I mean? And I wanted to bring you back for my last with the one I did my 50th, but so I got Marvin on because he was by popular demand. And Ryan was a surprise. Like Ryan Davis was a
Oh,
surprise. Like that was a surprise guest to come on. And then when I realized that I was going to do the album, I was like, I don't have enough time. I can't bring that many comedians.
nice.
So I'm going to definitely have to bring you back. And we definitely
Oh,
going to
man,
have
that was a
to.
fun show, man. And that was the first time, so we were talking, and backstage, that's the first time Rodney actually paid attention to Ronnie Perry.
Oh, no. Roddy is the
And so he was
that
like, damn, man. He's like, damn, Mike, we worked together before, but this is the first time me actually really watching you, man. He's like, man, I wish I was more famous. I'd take you with me. I was like, damn, I wish you were too. No, but
Yeah, but you know the crazy thing
Rodney's
about it
that
is, oh,
dude,
that's
though.
right. It wasn't Marvin. You were on a show with Roddy Perry. Let me tell you how crazy that show was. That show was crazy because Nikita was on that show. You were on there. Roddy was on there, and then Roddy brought two people from Chicago. And they was like, "Can we get some time?" I'm like, "I guess." Like I was like, "What is this? What part is this?" But even though Rodney killed the end, like the ending was so crazy.
Yeah, that, yeah, man,
That
he's killing
everybody was dancing. You killed that show, bro. Like,
Oh,
you
thank you,
killed
man.
that show. You killed it. Nikita got off early, which I was upset. I was like, Nikita, why you get off early? She said, I thought I saw a light. Somebody was taking a picture. And they thought she lit her. They lit her, but she didn't. But yeah, that was definitely a great show. And like, yeah, and you should have got your just due. And Rodney definitely should have saw that. But Rodney, in his own right, man, always a stand-up dude, always,
He called
willing
me out
to.
of the blue one day. It was like, man, because we had did a video when he came down together. And he's like, man, I just had to come call check on you, brother, see how they've seen. I was like, damn, Ronnie, I appreciate you. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's real when a mother just take out his time of day, just call and say, hey, you know,
And
and
there's
that's the type
certain
of person
comedians
he
that
is.
do that, certain comedians that do that. And I don't mean that. Like, I remember when you was going through your health situation, and I had to call you on the phone. Like,
I
I was like,
appreciate that.
I can't text this. I gotta call him. I was shocked to get the news. And I just wanted to let you know at that moment in time, like, yo, brother, like, regardless of anything anybody say, if you need something, I mean this from the bottom of my heart. If you say, Jay, I just need you to come up here and talk to me for 2 hours, I was like, oh, I'm on my way. Like, you know
That's
what I'm
just,
saying?
I
Like, I
appreciate
was,
it. Yeah, for sure. And
because
I
it was,
appreciate the call meant a lot. You know what I'm saying?
man. I was,
People
yo,
don't
I
realize
was.
how long that goes, how far that goes, man.
Yo,
That means a
I was almost in tears when I was talking to Mark. I was on the phone with Mark. I said,
lot.
Mark, like, tell me what's going on. He's like, oh, yo, Melo calling. And then he's like, I was like, no, he called me right now. He called me right now. And I hung up the phone and I clicked over or whatever. Because I was trying to get like what was going on. Because I think it was Mark that put the initial post up or something. And that's what, yeah, that's
And
when
he was
I
like,
called
man,
Mark. Yeah, I called Mark, like, yo. And Mark was like, yeah, man, we just found out, and I'm like, I'm going back and forth. I'm hemming and hawing. And I try to call you and you didn't pick up. Then I'm on the phone with Mark, like, he was trying to give me details, and you call. I was like, Mike calling me. I'll call you back.
Yeah, man, that was a crazy time. It was one of those things like, you know, you go in for a regular checkup, and the next thing you know, he hit you with them, and it didn't really hit me until like a couple of days, you know. I'm like, because I was like, I ain't got it. And then I went back and he was like, no, you got it. I was like,
You're in denial. Like, you got to go through the denial phase, you know what I
Oh,
mean?
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
I mean, I don't know how many denial phases I've been through. You know what I mean? Like, you get bad news, you're like, nah, that ain't true. That ain't what it is. You know what I mean? And you got to go through the acceptance, and then you got to just go through the whole, like, calming yourself down and just, getting through what you got to get through, But, we at that age, man, like, nothing's guaranteed. We don't eat the best of what we do. We doing a wild thing. I got to make better decisions, you know what I mean? As far as my health, it's my health too, you know what I mean? But,
Well, that definitely woke me up about everything else. Like, oh man, I ain't, you know, this game we in keeps us young. And we tend to forget, like, you just turning 50. I'm about to be 52 this year. And I'm like, I'm fit. I still can't grasp the fact that, hey, I'm 50, I'm about to be 52. You know what I'm saying? But it definitely woke me up to be more. I mean, I'm still eating almost what I want, but I do pay attention a little better, you know?
You got to, man. You got to. I mean, I'm beating myself up plenty of times because I'm on the road. You on the road, you definitely don't eat healthy on the road. And that's the part I gotta change my mindset and be like, all right, I gotta make way better decisions. You know what I mean? And find
Get
different
some
ways to
greens in there instead of just meat.
always gotta get greens and vegetables in there. I'm vegetables and fruits in there. So yeah, man. But yo, man, I appreciate the time, man. Appreciate
Oh, sure.
the redo, the remix, the
Yeah,
first one didn't
absolutely,
go through
man.
right.
Yeah. You know what? That Fisher Price, it got me. Fisher
It
Price
did. The
got me.
internet guy. I might try to combine both of them. I don't know. Make it an extra long special. They be like, yo, why is this an extra long podcast? Like, yo, we had two. We had to mesh them together. You know what I mean?
That's what's up, man.
But
But
I
yeah,
definitely
thanks
got to
for
bring
having
you
me,
back
brother.
on, man. I got to bring you back on, and we'll definitely do this again soon, man.
Yeah, absolutely, brother.
All right. No doubt, man.
I appreciate you.
All right. Peace.
Thank you.